All right, good morning, everyone. How was breakfast this morning?
Fabulous.
Thank Rico. Rico, thank you for breakfast. Give him a hand.
Yay!
You know what? These guys and ladies all get up early to do this for us, and we appreciate it, right? We love the double blessing, right? We're getting a double blessing. We got fed in the physical. Now Sammy May here is going to feed us in the spiritual. Right, Sammy?
No.
All right.
Yeah,
Sammy, I love your thing there, God 101. We all need to go back to basics, right? Once you build a foundation, you never have to look at it again. If you say yes, you've never owned a house. Everything needs tending. Everything needs to maintenance to keep it up, right? And that includes our spiritual foundation, if anything. And I applaud Sammy for going back to the basics, right? Don't think that we know it, right? Because we don't. Well, without further ado, I would like to introduce Sammy. Wave to everybody, Sammy. All right, try.
Hi, guys.
Try nice and cut it off about a quarter till, and it's all yours, Sammy. All give Sammy a hand.
You can clap afterwards, all right? Just hold your applause. Yeah. All right, so I titled this God 101. To be honest, I could not figure out what to teach on. You know, Bob is always like, you come up with it, you pray about it. I was praying so hard the last couple of weeks I went to teach on, and I honestly got nothing. And it wasn't until this week that I got it. And that's like a first for me because I hate waiting until the last minute. But it seems like life is just so busy. The last couple of years, you know, I taught up here and I took a hiatus and just waited a little bit as I finished my school. And I'm like, I'll start teaching again once school's out. And after school got out, then Candace got pregnant. So another baby came. And then not after that, then we got Mia. So another baby came. And then after that, the flood came at my house. So then we had to do the basement. And it's like, man, you never get a break. It's just constant. There's always something going on. So I feel like this guy sometimes. And so I got this little video.
Hi there, little chicken nuggets. It's me, Carl. I know some of y'all have youth group, but let's be honest. There are certain things you prioritize first before preparing for your weekly sermon. So in honor of that, this week's topic for our last minute sermon is one of the top things we seem to put not only before sermon preparation, but really everything else in our lives. Pizza. Pizza. Pizza pie. It's a pizza pie. Pizza. Zah. What?
Zah, dude.
Zah, dude.
Zah, dude.
I don't know what y'all are saying, but I'm talking about pizza. You got za?
Dude's got za?
What? No, I don't have pizza. I'm just talking about it.
So no za?
No za.
There's no za?
No za. There are so many...
Why'd you talk about pizza if you don't have any?
I don't know, man. I just forgot to order pizza, I guess.
Can you order one?
I'll take pepperoni.
I mean, yeah, I guess after I'm done with this video...
Sick.
There are so many great things about pizza. It's gorgeous, delicious, and it can be delivered straight to your door. But you know what? Much like pizza, every one of us can also be delivered. Delivered from sin, that is, because of Jesus and what he's done for us.
Hallelujah.
And it doesn't end there. And once we've accepted that sweet gift from him, we'll be delivered straight to the pearly gates. Of H-E-V-U-N. Double hockey stick. Nope. Heaven. Now you can't have pizza without the crust. What a mess that would be. You certainly can't have pizza without the sauce. That's just sad. And there ain't no way on God's green earth you can have a pizza without toppings. That's just heresy, my friends. And those items, all by themselves, they don't make up a pizza. It's only when you combine them, bring them together. Just like the body of Christ is not complete without all of you. Talking about you, James, Jessica, Bartholomew, Hezekiah, Keith, Albert, Pamela. It takes all of y'all to make up a pizza. Wait, to make up a church. I would say I'm a spicy sausage in that scenario because my mama always told me she never sausage a beautiful face, my face. And I have a little bit of a spicy side, so watch out. Liberated. When creating the pizza, you start with the dough. The dough goes through a process of being pounded, beaten, and even thrown. And then it's flattened out and pile it on with toppings, which add much more weight. And if that wasn't enough already, it's then put into the oven. Some of y'all may feel just like that big old lumpy sticky piece of dough, getting beat up, stretched out, dressed out, a weight bearing down on you, being shoved into an oven of oppression. That may be the case, but every pizza is pulled out of the oven. And God, He can pull you out of that tough situation only if you let Him. It's not delivery. It's the Lord, yo. And He delivered me. Papa John? How about Papa John 3:16? Hot and ready? Hot and ready is what you're gonna be if you don't listen to this. That was too far. True, but too far. Jesus doesn't just have a piece of my heart. He's got the whole thing. And you can crust me on that.
Best teaching yet. All right. I saw that and I'm like, man, sometimes I feel like that pizza, you know, where you got so much going on. And so I wanted to use that as an analogy. You know, we're going through life and, you know, we have so much going on around us. And, you know, that pizza, it needs to be formed and needs to have somebody deal with it. And what better way to understand who's going to deal with us by understanding God?
Yes.
And so I want to look at today. That's why I titled this God 101. A lot of people think this is God in a weird sense. Seriously, every movie, and then I even saw on... what was it, the History Channel or something like that? He's doing a series on God. Who is God? And I'm like, dude, just stop. Yeah, I'm not going to listen to Morgan Freeman, who God is. All right, so I want to look at what are the names of God, all right? There's over 300 of them listed in the Bible. And what's the point of a name? It shows the character and nature of who God is, all right, and the circumstance of what He's dealing with His people. Shows God's will for creation. It tells us, most importantly, who He is. You know, if you know, you look at some of these other religions and a lot of their names, it's like, I don't want to serve a God like that. You know, Allah is a God of war and not of peace, but a lot of people say that. I don't want to serve a God like that. That's not who my God is. So today we're going to take a look at the unique names of God in the Old Testament. Now I'm going to look at maybe 10 of them. But obviously, like I said, there's about 300 names in Scripture that refer to God. All right, El Shaddai. All right, this is, if you guys are wondering what this number is right here, if you want to look in your concordance at home or whatever, if you have a question about a specific word that you're reading, that's the reference number in the Strong's Concordance. You can take a look and get a more background of what that word actually means in the Hebrew and the Greek. All right, so El Shaddai. It's used in Scripture 7 times. It means Lord God Almighty, All-Sufficient One. And this is in reference to God completely nourishing, satisfying, and supplying His people with all their needs as a mother would her child. Connected with the word God, which is El, this denotes a God who freely gives nourishment and blessing to His people. All right, He's our sustainer. I got a picture of my beautiful wife right here with our son, and it's so funny because he was sick this last week, and I'd go to rock him down. You know, she wakes me up, slapping me across the face, telling me to get up. And she's like, go get our son. And I'm like, he's your son. You go do it. And she's like, no, go do it. So I go in there to go rock him, and all he keeps doing is screaming. And then he's trying to push me away. He's slapping me across the face, trying to get away. And I'm looking at him. You know, I'm half asleep. And he's pushing me back like this, looking back at the door, looking for his mom. And I'm like, I think about that. And I'm like, I want to be like that with God. You know, where I need that, not necessarily mothering, but I need Him. I don't want the attention from anyone else. I want it directly from Him. All right, so it's used first in Genesis 17, 1 through 5. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, meaning I am your sustainer. I am that mother figure to you, the one who gives you everything. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Now think about that. 99 years old. All right. At this point, he only had my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Ishmael. All right. And that was it. His wife was barren. They could not have kids. And then he appears and says that. Only an almighty God can do that. Right? Nobody else can make that happen but God. And that's why when we see this, we see the miraculous signs of God. He is God Almighty. You know, that's why he has that name. El Elyon. I hope I spell that right or sound it right. The word is used 50 times in Scripture. 26 of them are directly in Psalms in reference to David and talking about the struggles that he went through. It means the Most High God, God who is above all gods. He reigns supreme. He is and will always be in control. He sees all, knows all, and all things are in subjection to his perfect will. It's kind of blurry. Look better on the screen, but that's a picture of, if you guys have watched Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, the very last city, when the king comes back, it's on a hill and right on a mountaintop, and you have this beautiful view of everything else. And I thought about that, and I'm like, that's God's view. You know, obviously it's a lot bigger than just that city, but that's his view on us. You know, you think you're going through something that he doesn't see? No, he sees all. He's got that perfect view. Everything is in his control. Everything you're going through is right here. And he's like, no, I got this. This is going to work out right here. And so it's just it's a beautiful thing. And another thing is, it's an absolute right to lordship. You know, in Return of the King, Aragorn, which ends up being the king of that city, comes up and he's like, you know, it's my right. I'm the king. I'm the one who's supposed to be here. It was my destiny. It was my birthright. And so you think about God, all right, and we read about, I believe it's in Samuel, where the Israelites are demanding of a king. And they're saying, we want a king like all the other nations. And his response is, I'm your king. Why are you searching for somebody else? I have the right to lordship. I'm your God. I'm your king. And what does he end up doing? He ends up giving them a king that, you know, betrays them and obviously leads them to despair and destruction. And so I thought about this and I'm like, that's a beautiful illustration of where God is. You know, and so when you think about these words, when you think about the names of God, I like to ask myself personally, do I have God in a place where he's my king? Is he my king? Do I have him there? Do I make sure that I put all things in subjection to him? You know, because if he's my king, am I honoring that? Am I treating him like what his name actually means? Or am I just treating him like my friend who's, you know, right here, but I don't really have to listen to him? You know, these are the things that I think about when I read the scripture like that. Psalms 18:13 through 15. It's a song of David after he was being attacked by Saul, and Saul was trying to kill him multiple times. And it says, the Lord thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord. And so that word right there, Most High, is Elyon. So in that moment, David understands that what he's going through, because he was already promised to be king. He was already, when he was a young boy, that was already said. And so he's looking at this, and that's why he refers to him in that name, because he understands that God sees all. That there's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for his destiny to be king. And his circumstance is saying, all my enemies are attacking me. All my enemies are right here. This is what I see. But my God sees it totally differently. He sees what's going to happen. And so David refers to him as this because he understands that God is the one who's in control. God's the one who has the vision. Now these three I kind of combined together. This is the most common name that we see for God in the Old Testament. Adonai, Elohim, and Yahweh. Yahweh is used specifically about 6,500 times in Scripture. So that's the most common. Adonai is about 2,000, or 1,000, sorry, and Elohim is about 500. So those are the most common names that you'll see when you look at the Hebrew in the Old Testament of God's name. It means Lord, Master, Jehovah, absolute ruler, the existing one, judge and creator, the one true God. Another one even talked about unending. You know, so it's the idea that God has no end. You know, when you think about it, I'm going to share a scripture where it talks about all these gods that were created with hand. You know, our God was not created. He's the unending God, the everlasting God, the God that was and that is. You know, and so once again, when we read these scriptures and we read the Lord, you know, and we see his name referenced or written down, are we looking at it from this perspective? When I read Lord, am I reading the Lord, the everlasting King? You know, are we thinking about that in scripture? Or do we just kind of read it in English? You know, because there's so much more depth when you go back and you look at the original context of what it was in. The name Yahweh is anything but empty. The name carries overtones of presence, salvation, deliverance and blessing, covenantal bondness and integrity. That's a definition that I found that I really, really liked. Genesis 3:8 through 9. It said, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and hid themselves, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? So they had the right view of God. They looked at him, that he is unending. They looked at him, that he was the judge and the creator, the one true God. And yet they're still trying to hide themselves. You know? And so it's like, it's kind of funny. It's like, where are you? Like, how are you going to respond to that? You know, I think about when I ask my kids, you know, obviously I got four kids and constantly making messes. And, you know, I'm like, don't mess with my hardwood floors. Don't spill anything. Like, these are the things that irritate me. And new carpet, you know. And it's so funny because I'll go to them and I'm like, who did this? And my older two will look at each other and they're like, it wasn't me. And then Mia goes, it wasn't me. And then both of them go, it was Avery. And then Avery, man, that little girl, she's now thought to herself that she should just take the blame all the time. So they'll be like, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it was Avery. She's like, I did it. And I'm like, no. Avery, you don't always have to take the blame for it. She's like, I did it. I did it. I'm like, oh, I can't spank you. You know, if you actually did it, I will. But, girl, you're too cute. And so I think of that. And I normally don't get real emotional. But when I was thinking about this and thinking about that concept of God asking, where are you? You know, it kind of triggered me a little bit. You know, where are you? You know, what have you been doing? You know, and it's, I'm getting emotional right now thinking about it. But I think we all have to kind of take those moments to ask ourselves, are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we looking at God the right way? Because if we're not, we need to change. Next one is Jehovah Nissi. It's only used once in Scripture. This was with Moses when they were going out to battle with my sister's tribe, the Amalekites, and they were getting attacked, and so Moses went out and he commanded the army to go and fight, and so he goes up on the mountain, and Aaron and I think it was Nun who was with him, and you know he starts raising his hands, you know, putting his hands up, and he got tired. And so in that moment, when his hands began to drop, they started to lose the battle. But every time his hands went up, they were winning the battle. And so it's kind of like that's a banner, in a sense. Your hands are lifted high. You're declaring for everyone to see who your God is. That when my hands are outstretched towards God, there's victory. When I'm looking to the King, there's victory. You know, so that's what this name means, is the Lord is my banner, the Lord is my miracle. And I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Patriot. But there's a scene at the very end where it seems like they were being pushed back and they were going to lose. And Mel Gibson starts yelling, "No retreat! No retreat!" And he takes the flag and he starts waving it back and forth. And what does it do? It gives hope. It gives inspiration to the people to where they turn around and won the battle. All right, so it's used in this context. Exodus 17, 15 through 16. It says, "Now Moses built an altar and called the name of it, 'The Lord is my banner,' saying, 'A hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Molech from generation to generation.'" I'm just kidding. She's not going to do it to her. And so it was true. You know, you read it throughout Scripture, and God's hand was always against them. And it's that idea that when you go out, because we're all in a spiritual fight, amen? If you're not fighting, then there's something you should probably change. All right, we don't want to sit on the sideline. We're in a war. And so when you think about that, when you think about when you go through your daily life, you know, where's your banner at? Is it at home in your bedroom? Or is it with you wherever you go? You know, can people see that? I'm not saying be over the top and take a banner and put it. You know, I'm saying, you know, do people know who you are? You know, at work, there's a couple guys who constantly harass me and, you know, try to get me to talk their ways, and finally it's coming to a point where they're like, "Ah, never mind, you know, don't worry about, don't, Sammy, don't come over here, we're talking about things inappropriately." You know, and it's like, yeah, because my banner's not coming down. Like, they know who I serve, and I refuse to do anything other than that. Jehovah Rah, it's a number 7462, it's used in Psalms 23, and this parallels Christ in the New Testament. We read about him being our shepherd. And so the name means the Lord my shepherd, to know God, to have intimacy with God. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down on green pastures." You know, and I was just thinking to myself, man, it's always easier if we just listen to God. Yeah. Like, think about your life. Think about moments where he's telling you to do something, and you're like, "No, I don't want to do it." You know, I have a couple coworkers where we were talking, and they're like, "Yeah, I need to learn things my own way." And I'm like, "You're stupid." Like, sorry, you're stupid. Like, I refuse to do that. I take counsel. I check multiple things. I don't want to make those mistakes. I know it's detrimental not just to me, but my family and those around me. And it's like, why do we struggle sometimes? You know, we see it blatantly in Scripture. But yet we still try to say, "No, I could still do it. I'm okay." You know, I know the Bible says don't be drunk, but, you know, what's one or two times? I'll be good to go. You know, I know the Bible says watch your mouth, but, these people don't care. You know, I know the Bible says to tithe, but, they don't need my money. You know, God doesn't need my money. You know, these are things that are so critical to advancing the kingdom. You know, who are you displaying? Who are you serving? And it's like, if we just get a picture of who he is. You know, I don't want to be a wandering sheep. I don't want to go off. I have a neighbor, Carl, not the guy in the video, but his name's Carl. And so anytime I'm outside, he finds a way to just come out and start talking to me. And so he's nice, you know, we talk and socialize. And he'll come up to me, and he doesn't go to a church. He doesn't do anything with the body of Christ. But he'll come up to me and he's like, "Hey, Sammy, you're called to change this world, man. You know that?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know." He's like, "No, you're going to be the difference. I'm telling you. This world's crazy. I feel bad for your children." And I'm like, "Carl, why do you feel bad?" "Well, the end is coming, brother. I'm telling you. You better be ready. You need to start studying this stuff. I'm telling you. Have you seen the tornadoes?" I'm like, "Carl, shut up." And so he's like, "I'm going to give you this book. I want you to study it." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I'm like, I believe in prophecy. I believe in all that stuff." I'm like, "But you and me just have a disagreement on the timing." And he's like, "Well, I don't want to debate about this, Sammy." And I'm like, so now when I tell you that, now it's, no, I'm not going to listen. And it's because he's a wandering sheep. He's out on his own. You know, and a lot of that is his own stubbornness. He's trying to do it himself. You know, so I've invited him out, you know, but he's so anti-pastors and church and, you know, so it is. and he doesn't like Pastor Don, you know, so.
Maybe I'll come visit you more often.
You should, you should. All right, Jehovah Rapha. All right, it says, the God who restores, the God who heals, the God who makes healthful. All right, and so the context of this is in Exodus, when we read about them coming out of the Egypt, and he's telling them, like, look, if you don't submit to me, if you don't listen to me, if you don't follow my commands, the same wrath that came on the Egyptians is going to come on you. And they buckled right up, man. Whoops, spilt a little bit. And so it's thinking about that same concept that God has your best interest at heart. He's your healer. He's the one who brings everything in alignment. You know, I don't need to go to a chiropractor. He's my chiropractor. He's my one that brings about a healing and a change inside of me.
Jehovah Crackerbacker.
Yeah. I like that. We should do a study on what that means. Jehovah Crackerbacker.
Break your back.
Yeah. All right, so this one is El Olam. All right, so it's used 10 times in Scripture. And it's the idea that God is a God of eternity. All right, he's not like a momentary fix. He's not like just right in this time frame. He's eternity, the everlasting God. If you guys have read a lot of the Old Testament, you'll see references of the God of ancient days. You know, and so that's this word right here. And I have here, are we following the new age, the new gods of this world, or is our hope in the eternal, unending, everlasting King? You know, I was showing Jenny the other day, I don't know if you guys ever listened to Louder with Crowder on YouTube. So I don't always agree with everything he says, but some of his stuff is pretty amusing and scary at the same time. And so he did this thing on Amazon Alexa. You guys ever, you guys know what those are? So he put it on the table, and they were doing this study, and so he asked the question to Alexa. Alexa, who is Muhammad? Oh, Muhammad is this great and wonderful man. He brought about a bunch of change and revolutionized what we see in the Middle East today, and he is, and starts, like, giving him, like, all praise. And then the next question he asked is, who is Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. You know what Alexa's response was? He is a fictional character, and that was it. That's it. And so, yeah, I'm not buying an Amazon Alexa. Forget that. And it's that concept. And this, you think this has been going on just now? Like, come on, this has been going on since the beginning of time. There's always someone who's trying to say that God is not the way, that he's not the truth, that he's make-believe. No, this is not new. This has been going on. It's just what we see right now. All right, Jeremiah 10, 7 through 10. It said, who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your due. For among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. They are the work of craftsmen and of the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. So you think about that. He's the Ancient of Days, the God of this universe. He's not like these other made-up gods that we see today. You know, he's not science as far as what evolution says is science. That's not biblical at all. Jehovah Jireh, all right, and I don't know if you guys have listened to a lot of the prosperity gospel, all right, but they love to use this, but believe it or not, Jehovah Jireh is only used once in Scripture. Once. Now, I'm not saying God's not going to provide, but, you know, God works all things out to his will, right? So the concept of this was in Genesis 22 when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. And what did he do? He provided a lamb in the thicket. And so that was his sacrifice. So that's what he's talking about. And it's funny, we had a garage sale over the weekend. Or I should rephrase that. My wife had a garage sale over the weekend. Because Lord knows I wasn't doing it. I wanted to give everything away. And so she goes, honey, I really want a new couch upstairs. I want to decorate and make it all fancy and everything. And so I'm like, yeah, that's how she sounds. Don't you remember Mexico? Damn me. And so she's like, I want a couch. I want a new one. I don't like her couch upstairs. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, go ahead, buy a couch. So she found one that was $320 that she liked. And so we get through the garage sale, and at the end, how much money do you think we made? $324, because she asked me for a coffee, so she had four extra to go get a coffee. So God is our provider. I'm like, I don't want you spending money on that coffee, but hey, God provided it for you, go ahead. Yep. All right, Jehovah Sabaoth, used more than 250 times in Scripture. It means the Lord of hosts, the Lord of powers, the Lord of armies. It's this name that denotes his universal sovereignty over every army, both spiritual and physical. And this is what David actually talked about when he killed Goliath. And then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I came to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." You know, and so when we think about going to battle every day, when we think about preparing for what God wants to do on a daily basis, because I feel like that's the hardest part, is the day-to-day. It's easy to go to a mission trip and stay dedicated for a week. Anybody can do that. But let's see how you walk it out day by day. So if I want to encourage you guys this week, and hopefully it goes farther than that, think about who our God is. First thing when you wake up, start having the right picture of who Christ is. You know, he's the Lord of hosts. His army is bigger than any army we've ever seen. And he's in complete control. And so these are the names again, and I want to close with this video. No, it's not Carl. I've never heard this song before until this week. And this is actually their first cousins. Think about what we just talked about when we're talking about the names of God and who he is. You know, what is God's identity? You know, if I had to think about, you know, the name that I would... Because everybody's perception of who God is slightly different. Obviously, it's what we see in Scripture, but for me, it's like the God who always makes a way. Because he's always made a way in my life. You know, I come from a family with a Muslim dad and a mom who was a hypocritical Christian. There is no way I was coming to Christ, but he made a way. So I think about that, and I'm like, the God who always makes a way. You know, when I think about God, that's my idea of what he is.
Atmosphere is changing, nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up, fill the sky. Chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high. Speak the name above all other names. Speak the name. Riding down, healing waters flowing.
So I hope that, you know, maybe this week, maybe you haven't been looking at God the right way. Maybe you don't have him as the everlasting God. Maybe you don't have him in a place where he's supposed to be. You know, one of the most influential and important things we could do is to think rightly about God, to put him in that right place. So, Father, I pray today that, God, as we go down to worship, Lord, that we think of you rightly. That we think of you not as just a shepherd or our friend, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lord of every army, Lord God. You're the God who makes me holy. You're the God who sanctifies me. You're the God who's in control of every situation. Help us to think of you that way. Change our mindset, Lord God. Renew our mind to think of you this way. Let you be our banner, Lord God. Let us take down every other sign that points to every other thing, Lord. You're our banner. You're our hope. You're the reason that we're alive. We just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Give Sammy a hand. Good job, Sammy.